days. Marcus deserves an honourable mention for his excellent singing display.
When? Oh. Backhand, lofted up.
When you were out one day.
Antoine and I.
Sensible.
Antoine and I did a brilliant little Bohemian Rhapsody duo one night.
You're kidding?
Yeah, all the Scaramouches.
And we're still on air?
Somehow. Some stranger heads sticking, well, their heads around the door wondering what was going on.
So you were Scaramouching?
Yes. Play that Fandango.
2 hours 43. 30 love, 1-4. Sinner misses down the tee. Ball boy and ball girl nearly collide, avoid each other. Back in place beside Eva Azdraki Moore's chair. The serve kicks down the tee. The backhand is lofted up. The backhand cross court flattened out by Sinner. Long from Alcaraz. Game points.
One person had suggested Andre Agassi for the back-to-back wins, but of course Agassi famously only won here once in 1999. Played two finals in a row, 90 and 91. Lost to Andres Gomez. The match that everyone thought he was going to win, and then he lost to Jim Courier as well.
Sun is back. Game point, Sinner. Also back is Alcaraz, stepping way back to return serve, which he does with his backhand, and then the backhand netted from Sinner.
And Agassi, as you said, sitting in the presidential tribune, will be presenting the trophy today to the winner.
Yep.
I thought he... So he's not doing television today?
Well, he may have done it earlier. He can do the preview show.
Okay.
Game points for 2-4. Sinner nets. Gets back behind the baseline, bouncing the ball with the face of the racket. Now twisting it, bouncing the ball with the left hand. Alcaraz standing back. Serve goes down the tee. The backhand is rolled in up the line. The backhand is swung at and clubbed. He lifted his feet in the air. He nailed it into the corner, Sinner. He pumps his fist to his box and he holds for 4-2 Alcaraz in the third.
Steadied the ship a little bit. Nice backhand to finish. There's a guy in the second row in the presidential tribune wearing a very, very bright yellow jacket.
Yes.
And he caused a bit of a fuss in the women's doubles final. He was asked by Krunic, I think it was, to take his... He had his accreditation badge and the Merci. Sun was shining off it and glinting in her towards her as she was trying to serve.
Well, to be honest, I'm surprised she didn't ask him to take his jacket off as well.
Exactly what I said. Very, very bright.
Another little stat that's of no interest really to anyone, but I reckon that we have a tournament record 7 pigeons watching at the moment from the open roof on the far side.
I think they're looking at you. And your fascination with pigeons is a worry.
They're just building up like Hitchcock's birds.
Don't.
2 hours.
We'll look up again, there's 60 of them.
45. Alcaraz spins another one. The forehand. Oh, there is another one. They're making two rows now.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we didn't realise, but Dustin Hoffman is filming a remake of Birds right here at Philip Chatrier.
Well, he seems very calm.
He thought he'd have a bag of chips while he's at it.
We could throw them as food for the pigeons.
Point.
15-all, 4-2. Alcaraz serving in the sunshine, but the shadow's starting to creep over left to right, so the shadow will reach the umpire's chair first. You can hear the flagpoles, the battle against the flagpoles, just highlighting how windy it is today as Carlos Alcaraz double faults for a third time this match so far, one in each set from the Spaniard, and there's a little window of opportunity for Sinner.
That's an incredible stat going around. I haven't checked to see what happened in the semi-final, but going into the semi-final, I think Sinner had only served one double fault. Hasn't served any today.
No.
Let me check, because it's ridiculous.
Definitely none today. 15-30. Alcaraz doesn't get the first serve. Serve out wide. The backhand to the feet of Alcaraz. He goes inside in. He was so quick around that ball to find the space to win the point.
It's a key shot for him. The forehand inside in. gets his feet out of the way usually so quickly, and as you said, the timing of that was brilliant.
I find that such a fascinating shot as well, because you know, if you try and play it, you're kind of so cramped up, and to get your angles right, it makes it like everything looks so easy.
I think it's a shot that's, it's quite a modern shot game.
Second serve goes to the backhand that's long from Sinner, as Sinner's pointing down to the line, and it's game point Alcaraz.
Yeah,
a rare sort of loose error in terms of when the situation's tight, make sure you make the return from Sinner, but yeah, he's blaming the court.
A point for 5-2 in the third set. Serve out wide, stretch on the backhand, the inside in is open, it's where he goes, and he wins the point. And after 2 hours and 48 minutes, the defending champion is a game away from taking his first set of this final, and from Jannik Sinner losing his first set of these championships. 5-2 he leads.
It's fascinating, isn't it, the mental ups and downs of a match. Sinner definitely having a little lapse, a few mishits, a few strange shots for him, but Alcaraz at the same time raising his game. And a good response after losing that second set tiebreak, because he could easily have gone away in this third.
Absolutely. No, he's right back in business. So thanks to all of you for identifying, some of you successfully, the men that have won back-to-back titles here. That's something that Carlos Alcaraz could still do later this afternoon. Jan Kodish in 70 and 71. Bjorn Borg did it between 74 and 75, and then from 78 to 81. Van Lendl, as Simon rightly said, the champion in 1986 and 1987. Jim Courier, working for American television during these championships, was the winner in 91 and 92.
Oh,
efforts from an American player, of course. Sergei Bruguera, 93 and 94. Gustavo Kuerten, 2000 and 2001. And Rafa, 05 to 08, 10 to 14, 17 to 20. Have we mentioned that you bumped into Guga in a shop?
Not today.
As you do.
He was trying to get into the shop, and the door was locked, and he stuck his head through a window. It was quite a surprise.
Through a window? That's a bit painful.
No, the window was open.
Oh, thank goodness.
through the open window, and he said, bonjour. And I was like, oh, hi.
I mean, it's pretty nice, that Lacoste stuff.
So
headbutt the window.
That's why the door's locked. So I let him in, and off he went. He was very polite. They just wanted a couple of pairs of trousers.
Yeah, I bet he got that shirt as well.
Thomas says, Kramer versus Kramer. What year was that final?
2-5-15, love. Serving Jannik Sinner to stay in the set and ask the question of Carlos Alcaraz. 10 minutes shy of 3 hours on court, averaging an hour per set.
Andrew Kramer is a big tennis name. Jack Kramer, hugely influential as a player and as a broadcaster and as administrator as well.
Yep. And a racket. He's had a racket sort of named after him, didn't he, that he developed?
Yep.
Thirsty love. Sinner down the tee, the stretch from Alcaraz, the back behind shot that Alcaraz tried to chop the forehand back, but he nets and it's game point.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 10:30 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Nick Cook says, Nan says that Dustin Hoffman was nominated for Oscar for Midnight Cowboy, another brilliant film, but lost to John Wayne.
Serve out wide. Misses its mark. Ball boy scoops up the loose ball, and Sinner game points resets. Alcaraz up on the baseline now for the second serve, inside the baseline, takes the backhand early to the feet, the backhand goes back to the backhand of Alcaraz through the middle, and through the middle of the court goes Sinner, and Sinner with his backhand, bit of air on that, brought down by Alcaraz, forehand flicked into the corner by the Italian. The Italian goes cross court and long.
Crowd just love it when Alcaraz unleashes that forehand.
Doesn't
always go for it, but sometimes just injects that pace.
Peggy tells us that Andre Agassi was on TV for the pre-match show on TNT Sports, and he mentioned he got a new suit. Now hearing from the fantastic commentators that he'll be presenting the award, that new suit makes sense.
Presume he didn't put his head through a window to get it.
Presume he didn't pay for it either.
Absolutely.
Game points, 2-5. Ace!
Je Sinner.
Fifth ace of the final for Sinner, and he will ask the question of Carlos Alcaraz, who looks up the Spaniard for reassurance to his box, has an opportunity to get his first set on the board at 5-3.
Nancy's been in touch from Southern California, and she sent a link, which we'll have to look at later. But it's all to do with elegant put-downs, and one that Alec Guinness saved for Dustin Hoffman at an Academy Awards ceremony when receiving an honorary Oscar.
Merci.
So we'll look at that later. Thank you, Nancy.
Defending champion has won the last four meetings between the pair, but the first time they met in a Grand Slam final is 4 points from closing out the third set. First serve missed. Second serve is deep. Backhand is pulled out by Sinner. The drop shot from Alcaraz. Sinner was going the wrong way. He scoops it down the line. Sinner goes, Jannik Sinner volleys backhand down the line from Alcaraz. He followed it in. He followed it around the court. He stayed alert. He wins the point.
Perfect sort of point construction from Alcaraz there. The drop shot was good. It was actually a decent pickup from Sinner, but Alcaraz rolled cross court on the backhand, moved him the other side, knew where the ball was going to go off the Sinner racket, and was in control all the way through.
Red Sox Devil, in reference to your mention of the 1990 final, Simon, says that's the one where Agassi was more worried about his hair than Andre Gomez.
As we found out in his book.
You haven't read it. He explains how he sent his brother out to get hair pins for the hair piece he was wearing back then.
No hair worries these days. Serve out wide, backhand cross court, backhand down the line from Alcaraz. The forehand on the slide, semi splits from Sinner. Sinner goes cross court again, hammers it, then he goes back. Oh, beautiful play! He kept going back and back and back into the forehand wing of Alcaraz.
Yeah, blistering backhand up the line for the winner. Just times that thing so well. Love to see the speed of some of these ground strokes.
Nick McCarvel's come to say hi.
Oh, hello,
hi.
Nick. Hello.
Hi. Well, they were just in the pit.
Wearing the most
olive
elegant.
Green suit.
I mean, that'll
is
work
that olive
at Wimbledon.
Green? Is that a good colour? Taking olive green. Same colour as kind of the backdrop around the court. Like that. Carlos Alcaraz, 5-3, serving to take his first set of the final. Serves down the tee, the off backhand return. The forehand down the line is defended back through the middle of the court from Sinner. Sinner with his backhand through the middle. Inside in from Alcaraz is long.
Yeah, great defence from Sinner again. Just asking Alcaraz to go for it, and he did.
Danger. Simon, we mentioned all these pigeons on the roof, and Vishal's got in touch, says, I used to feed pigeons on my window. Now I've stopped after reading an article that pigeons are like flying rats. They are dangerous for humans and other birds. I am still confused, so I just stay away from them.
Marcus just films them in parks.
Talks about them a lot.
And talks about them an awful lot. 15-30, an opening for Jannik Sinner. The serve clips the top of the tape and goes wide. Alcaraz twists the racket in the right hand. Sinner steps forward to bring up break back points. Second serve goes centre of the box. Forehand is slapped back inside out. Sinner with his forehand goes inside out again. It's good depth from Sinner. It's on the baseline from Alcaraz. It's long from Sinner and it's 30 all.
Right, he did well there, Alcaraz, because he was under a lot of pressure in that point. But the fact that he managed to get Sinner turning back into his backhand corner to try and hit the forehand did the business.
I don't know if pigeons are a massive problem in Australia, but Joel's been in touch to say we're a family of five from Australia, currently in Porto, Portugal, watching this brilliant final live on the TV, and we have your commentary synchronised. Just perfect.
Very nice. Portugal, beautiful.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for getting in touch. 2 points from the set, the defending champion. 5-3, 30 all. First serve out wide. The forehand is thunder back. The drop shot. Sinner was late to that, but he gets up to it. Goes down the line. Alcaraz puts it up. Sinner runs back. He knew it wasn't going to find the court. And Jannik Sinner, the world number one, has a break back point.
Can't.
Not the best drop shot. Such a good part of his game, but just overhit it slightly. And Sinner was quickly up to it. Just can't quite get far enough in front, Alcaraz.
3 minutes shy of 3 hours on the match clock in this men's final, a final match of Roland Garros 2025. Breakpoint Sinner. Alcaraz with the serve misses. Wrong service box, going down the tee. Sinner steps up towards the baseline. He will be inside it when he makes contact with the ball. In he comes, takes it with the backhand, scampers back into position. The inside in from Alcaraz, cross court and deep from Sinner. Into the net goes Alcaraz, and we are back on serve. Would you believe it? Alcaraz serving for the set. Sinner breaks him on serve, third set.
Didn't do that much wrong, Alcaraz, but those forehands from Sinner, blistering power and the depth of that last one. Too much for Alcaraz to handle. And wow, he just, as I said, he just can't get far enough in front to get his foothold properly in this match.
And just a further reminder as to why this man has won 20 Grand Slam matches in a row, why he's won 31 sets in a row. He seemed to be down and out in this third set, but it's extraordinary. I mean, I'm still looking at the clock and realising the massive significance of the next 15 or 20
minutes.
Could
you remind us of the significance of the next 15 or 20 minutes, Marcus?
I mean, have I mentioned before
that
Jannik Sinner has never won a match that's gone for more than 3 hours and 48 minutes? Even I'm bored of that stat now.
Well, stop saying it then.
Sorry. We have new listeners all the time.
No, we do. We do. And they need to know that stat. They need to hear a lot about pigeons. And Dustin Hoffman. I think...
Absolutely.
The tennis, Dustin Hoffman and pigeons have been three threads through this final.
And Pratka says, as a millennial, I literally can't imagine Agassi with hair.
Fair enough.
It's true. It'd be weird, wouldn't it?
The shadow is Merci. Creeping across Philippe Chatrier. It now covers Evraz Dorakimis Moore's chair and the players' benches as Jannik Sinner, in front of the players' tribune, is serving at 4-5 to stay in the set, having just broken to get back on serve. And he misses the 1-2 punch forehand line.
John says, I'm still sticking with my straight sets win for Sinner prediction. Yeah, good timing with that one.
And Emily's glad this match has been lengthy because she's only just got out of church.
4-5, love 15. Sinner serves out wide. It's blocked back on the backhand. Sinner takes his time with a forehand. He waits to see where Alcaraz is going to go. He has to play a follow-up volley. It clips top on it. It slows down for Alcaraz to get in, and he finds the pass.
Well, it wasn't a great volley. Even if it hadn't caught the tape, I think Alcaraz would have had a play on it.
Emily, by the way, is one of the triplets who's been in touch during the fortnight. And the triplets' mum's also been listening. So four members of the same family, which is fantastic. And she does say to me not to spend too much time with pigeons. I mean, I don't like the reputation I'm developing.
You started that yourself after you filmed them in the park on your lunch break a few years ago.
Some very solid advice about staying away from barbecue shapes because they are disgusting.
I certainly agree with that.
The Vegemite shapes.
All agree with those.
Although I bet a pigeon would eat a barbecue shape.
4-5, love 30, under duress.
If you filmed it while you were holding it.
And I repeat, I didn't know what those pigeons were doing when
Marcus,
I filmed them.
Officer.
Second serve out wide. The forehand spins back in middle of the court. The forehand flat cross from Sinner. Sinner then the backhand through the middle of the court. Inside in goes Sinner. Cross court on the angle goes Sinner. Down the line goes Alcaraz for the winner. And he has triple set point on the Jannik Sinner serve after 3 hours of play.
Really good the way he steadied himself on the movement of the big forehand. He's now got the crowd up on their feet. Don't think they need any help. Oh, Dustin Hoffman almost dropped his chips there.
He's not still eating them, is he?
Well, it's quite old. Let's take a while.
S'il vous plaît.
Yes, quiet. Listen to the umpire.
Simon.
Set points. Alcaraz off the serve of Jannik Sinner. 4-5, love 40. Sinner just takes a couple of seconds, waits for all the crowd to be quiet as a pigeon flies over and Jannik Sinner resets, tosses up that ball and serves into the net.
S'il vous plaît.
The crowd will erupt if Alcaraz can convert, it will well and truly be game on in the final. The second serve kicks up again. He hasn't double faulted in this tournament so far. The forehand through the middle of the court. It's a little bit short. It's a heavy forehand from Sinner. Sinner with his backhand bats it cross court. The backhand down the line from Alcaraz. The pick up from Sinner. The mid-court ball for Alcaraz. Inside out he goes with the volley. Alcaraz, he's got it!
Alcaraz.
The defending champion breaks Jannik Sinner to love. And with it closes out the third set. It is game on in the men's final. Jannik Sinner, 2-1. Carlos Alcaraz, the third set.
Brilliant stuff from Alcaraz all the way through that set, really. Finally getting a foothold in this match. Finally starting to get maybe inside Sinner's head. We come back to the head-to-head, maybe. You know, the fact that he's won the last four. He remembers that he can do this, and Sinner, so close to getting a first Roland Garros title, started to dip a little bit at the beginning of that set, but brilliant effort from Alcaraz.
Yeah, and that ends his run of successive set wins at 31, stretching back to, I believe it was the fourth round of the Australian Open. So that's a terrific effort from Alcaraz. Two sets and a breakdown. We heard him. He was furious. He was maybe struggling a little with his movement. We know he's got both his thighs strapped up, but the bounce is back. And this final is starting to really live up to everybody's expectations.
At @radio_RG, if you would like to get in touch with us on social media, French Open Radio, fft.fr for your emails. We love hearing from you. Has your prediction changed since 3 hours ago to now? And what are you doing? We've had those matches in the past when people have started one thing and a match has gone on so long that they've almost completed their whole day. So do let us know what you were doing, what you are doing, what you're meant to be doing, and what you have to do.
Just to update you on the double fault stat, actually, I've just gone through all the matches. The stat was that he only done one going into his semi-final. That was in the quarter-final. Went four rounds without doing any double faults. Jannik Sinner did one in the quarter, one in the semi, and so far none today. So
wow,
that's pretty amazing.
That is incredible.
Considering the speed, he's banging them down at.
And just in terms of what you were mentioning there, Gigi, people who do all sorts of different things during the course of a long match, the only person who's done nothing different still is Lady Eleanor, who remains in that plinth somewhere backstage.
Not heard
slightly,
from her at all.
Yeah, I'm slightly concerned, and I think you're right, there's no Wi-Fi in the plinth.
But I am thinking that, will they bring the plinth back out and can her hand appear miraculously to push the Coupe de Mousquetaire up again at the end?
I don't think it does that at the final. I think that was just for the sort of pre-final entertainment.
Okay.
I think it's just there for the trophy ceremony.
And
talking
of entertainment, what flavour ice cream are you going to have during the fourth set?
I'm going to have a look and see.
Quick message from Matthew. He says, not my first rodeo. He says, hey, love you guys, love the tennis as well. I'm a professional rodeo cowboy waiting for my turn in the pen, listening to these two bullfighters go at it.
Wow, what a job.
I don't know if that's actually his job or if he's just sort of making a analogy to the fact that they are bullfighters, these two. But if it is, that is a great job.
So here we go again into set number four with sunshine over three quarters of the court now, but the umpire's chair and just the first slither of court on her side is now in shadows. In comes Sinner, and he's putting real pressure on first the Alcaraz forehand, then the backhand. Eventually he gets an easy put away at the net.
Still got there somehow.
Tell you one other thing that's interesting and refreshing, Simon. If I'm not mistaken, they've been on court now for 3 hours and 5 minutes. They're starting a fourth set. Well, the player's gone off court yet.
I know, I thought that, especially when one is struggling a little bit like Alcaraz looked to be doing. You'd have thought after the second set he might have gone, especially, but no, they're just carrying on with it.
Well, that's great. We have spent much of the fortnight talking about ways to speed up the game, and obviously not seeing players disappear for five or more minutes. I remember Milos Raonic once in Paris going to the loo, and it took him about 12 minutes.
I know, sometimes the bathrooms can be far away.
Second service.
But, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned...
taking the proverbial.
Greg Rusetsky had an interesting suggestion that you basically you'd have a portable loo by the side of the court. I'll come back to that after this.
What, like a sort of phone box style one?
Yeah, and you go in there, and if a player's taking too long, you start removing one part of the box, and that would speed them up. I don't think, Greg, that's ever going to catch on.
Sounds like one of the suggestions that we would come up with at our team dinner.
Yeah. Alcaraz then, 15-all, serving to the forehand. Just going wide with that first serve.
Bill says Tootsie's going to need more chips. Yep, Dustin's been sitting here most of the last 3 days.
Big court ball, and Alcaraz goes with that inside in, and it leads to the error from Sinner. That inside in has been hugely significant today.
Yeah, that shot's been very, very useful for him. Sort of went away a bit at the beginning of the second set, but in general, yeah.
Still a massive amount of work for Carlos Alcaraz to do. Don't forget, Gigi told us he's never come from two sets down.
I think Stu Fraser might be listening to us on the radio here to put a stat out along the lines of Marcus's.
I shared that with him. I mean, it's the stat. It is the stat.
It's a good stat.
Yeah. Oh, what a forehand there from Alcaraz. And Sinner found it too hot to handle.
It is a very interesting stat.
I would like to get it backed up in terms of just how many times. Does he say how many times?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Sinner's 0-6. And Alcaraz, obviously... This Stu Fraser, who's the tennis correspondent for The Times, has said his matches lasted 3 hours and 50 minutes or longer. Sinner's 0-6, Alcaraz 9-1.
Well, I mean, that's why Stuart's where he is, because he gets all the information. But that is increasingly significant. 3 hours and 8 at the moment. Alcaraz with a chance to hold to 15 in this first game of the fourth set. Sinner's driving his ball back across court. Alcaraz goes down the line and just misses.
Nev says, enjoy the commentary while stuck in traffic in New York City. Great stuff with three distinct voices. Thank you, Nev.
Oh, the traffic in New York City.
Can be horrendous.
Yeah, you sometimes get that media bus either to or from Flushing Meadows, and it can take 20 minutes. And I've known it to take more than 2 hours.
Exactly.
Sometimes the bus driver gets lost.
Yep.
Really? I mean, that's... surely the first requisite of the job. Forehand cross court from Sinner. Same shot from Alcaraz. They're both exchanging those blistering forehands, and this time it's the power on Sinner's racket that leads to the error off Alcaraz's.
I'm expecting... Remind me of the time that Sinner's not got past.
3:50.
I'm expecting at 3 hours and 51 minutes he's just going to collapse on court.
He's going to leave
the court. He's just going to leave and say, well, I've never done this before.
But Stuart Fraser, you know, has added more grist to the mill by saying he is 0-6 past that mark. So I think you may have to bow down before me at the end of the day, Empress.
Well, Red Sox Devil says I'm tipping Yannick will take a bathroom break at 3 hours 48 minutes.
That's a good shout. Gigi, you're just so bad.
I didn't say anything.
Really good body serve, and the return from Sinner is locked.
Alcaraz.
You don't have to say anything. It's your look and that little cheeky smile.
Pigeons have gone, by the way. Your pigeon update.
I wonder where they've all gone and why.
Waiting for you in the park. Didn't you say 6:30?
Actually, most of them have just moved across to the other side. I think they're staying in the sun. Pretty sure they are staying in the sun, because the sun is gradually blocking out the left half of the court from where we stand. So I think pigeons like sunshine. It's a good serve down the middle from Alcaraz. It's a good hold. He's up and running in set number 4, but he trails Yannick Sinner by 2-1.
Is he still rooting for Carlos? Today I'm listening while packing for a trip to Memphis to pick up my sister, then on to Chicago to pick up my grandson, Barrett, so he can spend the summer with me, Mimi, and his pop-pop. Very nice. Chris is not sleeping at 2 a.m. That's what he should be doing, because he's got to get up early to go to the gym and indoor blind cricket training sessions. Very good.
A lot of movement from the spectators. The fans just to our left are attempting to start a Mexican way, but they're not having a lot of joy. Well, maybe it's picking up a bit of momentum. No.
It runs out the other side.
Yeah, there's a very stubborn bunch in the corner to our left that are just not interested. And as the Empress has moved out, the vomitories are quite busy at the moment, spewing people back and forth. She might have heard that.
Matthew's got back in touch. He is indeed a rodeo cowboy. professional rodeo cowboy in Kansas.
God, that's a tough job. Have you ever gone on one of those sort of...
No, I know what you mean.
Mechanical ones.
No, you?
Yeah. Did it in Mexico. It was funny, but it was also very painful. Didn't last long either.
Ooh.
Oh, Alcaraz attempting a very extravagant running forehand down the line, but misses.
We're getting people listening from all over the place. Robert's in Boise, Idaho, hitting a ping pong ball against the wall in my room while listening. Thinks Carlos is going to come back.
What a performance! It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Prenez vos places, s'il vous plaît. Merci.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
Ready. Play.
Well, we're back. It's back. And we've got a new jingle for 2026. Welcome to Radio Roland Garros. It's day one. It is Sunday. The sun is shining. The temperatures are high. The players are making their way to their respective courts. But the big news is we are back and we are so happy to be back. If it's the first time you are joining us, 15 days of action, reaction and nonsense from first ball to last, covering every match, every night session, keeping you in the loop, hearing from those involved. And we'll be asking you a lot of questions as listeners get in touch. Find us on X. I'm going to start calling it X, not Twitter, at radio_RG. And French Open Radio, FFT.fr, for your emails. Welcome, welcome. Day one of Radio Roland Garros.
Isn't it lovely to be back?
It's a new jingle.
I know.
We've had John McEnroe for so many years.
Mind blown.
And now, well, I heard Naomi Cavaday at the top there.
And how did she get in
How did she get into the Radio Roland Garros jingle? None of us made it.
How many Wimbledon did she win?
Well, none of us made it, and I don't think we've got any.
That's true.
The voices you're hearing, if you are with us for many years, you'll know exactly who you're listening to, but it was Eleanor Preston, Simon Cambers, Marcus Buckland, who's probably forgotten to turn his microphone on, myself, Shishi Salmon. It's quite spooky, this music. It's like sort of, do you know what I mean? It's like sci-fi.
I feel like we're in a horror movie.
Yeah, I do feel like we're in a horror movie.
We are in a horror movie because Gigi's already having a look at us. The Wi-Fi is not working. The air conditioning is malfunctioning. It's 33 degrees.
It's really hot.
And Marcus,
that to me is a nightmare.
And Marcus forgot his wash bag. So the combination of no aircon and Marcus not having a wash bag is very concerning.
So why did you feel, as in here or generally in France?
No, I left it in London.
So how was your journey?
Awful. I don't know if you've ever experienced that horrific sinking feeling when you realise that the train ticket you think you have is the train ticket from 12 months ago.
What?
That's what happened. I mean, I am convinced, and we have just established I'm the oldest person here.
I think I'm going senior moment.
Because I'm quite sure I booked my Eurostar ticket about 4 months ago. So the night before we travelled, I had a look. Yeah, there it is, Eurostar. Turned up. Slight problem here, sir. You appear to have already checked in. You checked in 12 months ago. At which point I realised I had the 25 ticket. And it was rather costly to buy a new one.
The look on Eleanor's face. Because we have a little group, the three of us, from when we lived in shared a hotel together, just to sort of keep up to date with bits and pieces. And that conversation was happening. And Eleanor's like, oh, Marcus, just let you know it's quite busy, but I'm here. Let me know when you check in. It unfolded that you didn't have a ticket.
I must say, and I did mention it on X, on social media, Amanda, who works for Eurostar, was amazing. She really looked after me.
In what way?
Well, she was just incredibly helpful, and I've got to say,
she sold you a really expensive ticket. Well done, Amanda.
No, she did much more than that. She did everything she
could. And Marcus thinks she did him a favour.
Would you not diss Amanda? She was fantastic.
Quid. She's now on holiday.
I have a lot of respect for Amanda.
Yeah.
She's retired.
You know, Amanda, she's especially listening in this morning. And now you've
from
have
the
ruined
beach in the Maldives.
Ruined a great act of kindness.
So the kindness was selling you a ticket?
No, the kindness was, you know, when you're starting to panic a bit, and she was saying, I said, well, can I get another ticket? She said, well, if you'd asked me this yesterday, I'd say no, because every train was sold out. But she managed to calm me down, make me a member of Eurostar.
I thought he was going to say, make me a cup of tea.
Exactly.
How calm
myself.
Were you?
No, I stayed pretty calm, but she was just charming, and it was thanks to her that I didn't freak out.
And she found you a ticket?
Yeah.
Did you, like, sign something for her? Did you give her, like, a signed copy of your book?
His will.
Roger Taylor, the man who saved Wimbledon book.
Gigi.
You've left the open court. No,
there.
It's fine, because we have a new book this year, which we're not going to talk about quite yet. If you are new to us, you might wonder what on earth is going on. If you've been with us for years, we have basically picked up from where we left off, but we are going to be, the action starts in 25 minutes time, so if you are new to us, you're not missing anything, so I promise you will miss bits and pieces along the way. But how's everyone's year been? How is everyone? All good in respective households, lives and work?
All alive, all going well, yeah, feel good, thank you very much. Great to be here. I was just thinking about last year. It's good to see that Eleanor escaped the plinth that she was hiding in the finals day.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I did escape that.
You managed to get away.
Are you going to bother staying for the full 15 days this time, Eleanor?
It's not up to me, it's up to the Empress. Everything is up to the Empress.
No, it's not. We're living together this year.
I mean, I will find a way to be here, as I proved during the final by hiding in that pin.
You're leaving
early
again, bottom line.
It's still quite uncomfortable, just, you know, that crouching position.
I can only apologise to you new listeners, but I promise you, tennis will be at the heart of everything we do. So I will get to predictions, and I've got a special guest starring. I've written them all down, so people can't change them. I've written everything down. We have a lovely lady who's going to take some photos of us on air. I don't think she wants you waving.
I don't think she is. I think she's just walked in.
No, she is, because I knew she was coming.
Let's wipe the
sweat
off.
She looked a bit worried.
We knew the ladies. We'll just carry on.
Is it just your personal photographer that follows you around?
Yes, basically. Yes, just flew over with me and everything, coming to our apartment, take photos there.
Well, those image rights don't pay for themselves.
So, in terms of how has everyone's tennis year been? So, if I asked you 2026, a storyline, a person, a theme, Simon, what would it be for you for 2026?
It's all Sinner, isn't it? Yeah. Since Australia, when he didn't win, he managed to win basically everything else and dominated, and with Carlos Alcaraz sadly not here, it looks like the path is clear for him to win the career Grand Slam by winning here, which he's just been unbelievable. I thought that maybe by losing in Australia it might sort of knock him a bit, but no, it just sort of sparked him to get even better. So for me, I've just been watching him. Every time you turn the TV on, it's just him winning. Apart from when I see your face first, and then I see him winning.
They usually go side by side, don't
they? Pretty much, yeah.
It's the rate that he's done it, which I think is extraordinary. It's an incredible achievement by any measure. Djokovic, the only other person to do it. But Djokovic took 10 years, for example, to win all the Masters.
He was 29.
Yeah. And Sinner's done it in, what, 33 months? Collected all of the Master Series, the premier sort of level of tournaments outside of the Grand Slams, and he's not doing badly at the Grand Slams either.
Yeah, the only doubt for me here with him is the heat, because you know, we've seen him, he cramps like nobody's business, and it's just one of those things that he has to struggle with. It's not down to conditioning or anything, obviously, it's stress, it's all sorts of physiological reasons, but you know, that could well happen if he gets into Marcus's favourite stat match.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
3 hours 48 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to mention that again. But the one thing I will say, Sinner's been unbelievable, and now with Alcaraz sidelined throughout the clay court campaign and the grass court season, there is a concern for men's tennis. Somebody else has got to step up to the plate, and it's very hard to think who that might be.
Well, maybe it'll be the man that you've picked to win Roland Garros.
Well, I have gone out on a little bit of a limb, but you know, if Sinner is to stumble because of the heat or whatever other reason, you'd be foolish not to look closely at a man who's won 24 Grand Slams.
And who hasn't played one match on clay this year.
Have you picked Novak every year?
Yes. It's a sort of hit rate. It's monkeys and typewriters. Well, you know, eventually they're going to write the works of Shakespeare.
I just have a feeling.
He's going to be right at some point.
I have a feeling.
I don't think he is.
He hasn't played. He hasn't played. That's the big problem.
One match on clay.
I take your point that somebody with experience and somebody who has that extraordinary competitive spirit that Djokovic has, you don't want to write him off.
Who beats Sinner in Australia?
Yeah. And he will believe, and that I think is becoming a bit of an issue for everyone that plays Sinner. It's not just that Sinner is obviously an extraordinary tennis player. It's also that he's acquired that aura of invincibility, and the myth around him is growing all the time. So anyone who plays him has to combat that and also all the technical and tactical challenges that, that come with playing him.
But I have to say, he's looking tired, and I had heard that he wasn't going to go to Madrid, and that kind of made sense. Alcaraz would do Madrid, Sinner would do Rome, and they'd sort of flip him. But when Alcaraz pulled out of Madrid, I think there was a lot of conversations with the Sinner team saying, please, please, we need you. So he said, OK, we're coming. Then he wins that. He's not, not, he's never not going to play Rome. But a couple of matches, I think Laura, who I work with, was into it, and he was leaning against the wall and almost sliding down, and we were given one question with him, and rightly so, he was absolutely exhausted, because not only was he going through Rome, but the interviews he had to do, he had two personal security guards that would follow him from the changing room to the warm-up area. I'm not sure why they were needed, but the attention on him, all that stress and everything, and still he's winning, and still he's still going. I mean, it's what, 29 matches or so? It's five Masters titles this year. Then you add in Paris, and then you add in the Tour Finals and throw that on top of that. I mean, what he's doing is absolutely... I think, by the way, the heat might get us as well.
before it gets him.
I'm cramping.
It's already got to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the emotional impact of somewhere like Rome, and also the accumulation of all that success, it's great and it's wonderful and you get confidence, but it's also exhausting. You're doing a lot more media, you've got a lot of sponsor commitments, you go to your home tournament, this incredibly historic event in Rome, which has got so much kind of, as I say, history around it and also just prestige around it. You know, you're going to be exhausted when you get to the end of that. You win it, you're playing a lot of matches. The more you win, the more matches you play.
Success breeds success.
But it also breeds tiredness. And I think that all of those things going into a Grand Slam and back-to-back Grand Slams, let's not forget, he's defending champion at Wimbledon as well. So he's got a looming period of a lot of intense tennis.
I've said he will not play a warm-up on the grass, so do not expect... unless maybe if there was a complete shock here, maybe they'd change their mind, but they've said no warm-up on the grass. His next tournament following Roland Garros will be Wimbledon, which is sensible because the guy needs to step back. I mean, Colin Fleming asked him in Madrid when he won it, so are you going to win all nine this year? And he was just like, sort of give me a chance type thing. But Marcus, it's starting to become real.
It is.
It's starting.
It's incredible.
I mean, the next thing is he going to pop up in Canada? Then we'll know that that's what he wants to achieve.
He could have played Geneva last week. Well, he was a bit lazy, wasn't he?
Slacking off, really. Oh,
come on, weak. Isn't he? Katie's got in touch saying, hi, everyone.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
It's not my sister Katie, is it? Because I did tell her to message.
And Chris, I think, I didn't even know you said this last year, Marcus. Chris West said, well, Marcus did sign off last year's coverage saying that we'd be back together in 12 minutes' time.
Yeah, that's right.
It feels like 12 minutes.
He said, I knew there'd be consequences.
Vishal, you know, Vishal's always getting in touch with us as well. He says, good afternoon from India, 2 p.m. here in Aurangabad. Very hot, 44 degrees, so we shouldn't be moaning. He's got 44 degrees.
He's probably got aircon or a fan or something.
He says he's looking forward to some great commentary and wants to know how many grey hairs have grown on our heads since we were last in here.
Well, none. None for me. I've had them for 30 years.
Not on the head, but on the chin.
No, that's...
Not my chin. What do you look at my chin for?
We literally...
just had a look.
All three of us looked at me.
I thought, why are you introducing that? It's a bit odd.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, caring is sharing, isn't it?
Nothing wrong with that look.
This is only
a few grey hairs on the beard. I mean, I think that's from trying to get a train ticket from 12 months earlier.
I think it's from watching your football team.
Can we not talk about football, please?
Simon, you went early with that, didn't you?
I just got it out of the way.
If you are new to us, Marcus is a big fan of a team that could be relegated to the Premier League today.
Even hearing you say that makes me shudder.
West Ham. When their arch rivals have just won the Premier League and could win the Champions League.
And there's Arsenal fans wandering around Paris. Do they think they're playing PSG here in the Champions League final?
Just to point out, it's Tottenham Hotspur.
Are they showing it in the PSG stadium?
That Marcus supports.
Why would they watch? It's
cordoned off a bit. I think they might be. Yeah, why would Arsenal watch it?
Why would they go? So, Marcus, if you don't hear him after a certain time today, it's because he's going to be sitting in a darkened room watching events of the final day of the Premier League season.
Never mind today, Gigi. If Spurs get relegated, you're not hearing me for the whole fortnight.
You might be done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see. Right, so there'll be more discussion on the men's, but let's flip it over to the women's side. And Marcus, a headline for you, a story for you, a player for you on the women's side of things in 2026.
Oh, well, I mean, I tell you who I'm intrigued to watch this fortnight after her recent success, and that is Alina Svitolina.
And then I say to myself, if somebody has not won a Grand Slam or really even threatened to make a final of a Grand Slam going into her 30s, why should I seriously consider her on this occasion? But to win, as she did in Rome, to know she'll have plenty of support, because, of course, for her partner, for Gael Monfils, I mean, at some point he's going to bid adieu. What an atmosphere there's going to be inside the stadium. And how fitting it might be if Gail's saying goodbye and suddenly Alina Svitolina goes all the way. So that's where my focus of interest lies, Gigi, with my international hat on. From a British point of view, I'm so glad that Emma Raducanu has reunited with Andrew Richardson. She's playing today. She's on court 13, and we were having a little bit of a conversation. I mean, look, it's 5.5 years since she won her Grand Slam. So, yeah, well, court 13, fine. But I'm sure she still feels that she's a bigger, better player than that. And I sincerely hope now, because it was a big mistake to part company with Andrew Richardson when she did. Absolutely no doubt about that. Then a couple of days of winning the US Open, it was wrong. And I'm surprised he's gone back. I'm glad he's gone back, because it worked at the time, Simon. And I'm hoping, with my British hat on, that this is the start of a resurgence for what is a very talented and still very young player.
Yeah, she's still, you know, she is very young. She's her ranking's decent. She's been had her struggles over the last couple of years with injuries, especially injuries, and also just not really knowing what she wanted and buying into some coaches' advice and not buying into others and all that sort of stuff. So to go back with somebody that she trusts is clearly a good thing. I watched her last week in her first tournament with him, and she looked pretty good. She was playing the way she wants to play. She was aggressive. She lost, but she played well. She's clearly got the game to succeed. Clay's not her best surface. I mean, it's good to see her. I'm looking forward to her doing well. But I pick up on Svitolina. I love Alina Svitolina. Love watching her play. And I would say that she is better now than she's ever been. You know, this is the thing about, she is in her 30s, but she's unbelievably fit. She is hitting the ball harder than she ever used to. She's more aggressive. She's confident. She's relaxed. She's calm. She's not stressed, or at least she's saying that she's not stressed by the idea of winning a Grand Slam. She thought when she won Rome twice before.
I don't believe that.
Well, I sort of do. I mean, I don't think it's going to matter to her career anymore if she wins a Slam or not, but it would be amazing. I mean, personally to her, it'd be incredible if she wins. And she's got a chance. She's got a tough quarter.
But you think it wouldn't make a huge difference to her career? Surely winning a Slam.
I mean, she'll, you know, she's had a great career whether she wins a Slam or not. She's got nothing to be ashamed of. She should be proud of her career. Of course, winning a Slam will top it off. And she's well capable, and if it's going to happen, it could well happen here.
I think that's a really good point, that she is, I think, a radically different player to the player that she was in 2018, where she was
she was
quite a defensive player, wasn't she? And she was very passive, and now she's a different prospect altogether. She's also got a lot more experience. She has made semi-finals. She has been through draws like that and beaten, you know, some huge names. I think she's not going to have fear, and that's the key. I would also put a bit of a spotlight on another Ukrainian player, Marta Kostyuk. Mm. I think the way she played today in Madrid and Rouen, of course, before that, missed Rome with probably a precautionary injury and also being a bit tired, and comes in here actually on a winning streak of, I think, 13 matches off the top of my head, but certainly comes in here with lots of confidence and probably better equipped to make a kind of a good campaign here than she's ever been before. And I'll be interested to see how she copes with that internal expectation and the external expectation as well.
I'm looking forward to the Iga Świątek show, see how she copes with the pressure.
Especially if she gets Ostapenko, which
could be unbelievable. Third round, if it happens. She's never beaten her. It's a ridiculous stat. But I think her relationship with Francisco Roig, who was with Raducanu, of course, is clearly working already in terms of the shape of her shots, the margin for error, the way that she's getting Iga to think and not rush. Iga does seem calmer, even though she didn't win in Rome. She played well. And she is a four-time champion here. It's unbelievable when you think about it. I think she's the best player on clay. The heat will help her a lot. Her forehand will lift way off the court. She'll be pushing, you know, that's what she was doing to her opponents in Rome. They were being pushed way back high. It's tough for them to defend. If she can cope with the pressure, which she has done many times before, she's going to have a great tournament, I think.
Well, brings me on to predictions to see who people have got. And interestingly, none of you have gone for Svitolina either to win or be a dark horse. Because she could,
well, we
she
could give be her a dark horse.
Yes, she could be.
She won Rome, and she's a. You know,
she's not. She's never been in a Grand Slam final.
She's seeded. Was she seeded?
We come back to the eternal question: What is a dark horse, and how do we define it?
I'm pretty sure that if I'd said Svitolina is a dark horse, I'd have got from
no,
Gigi.
No, I think you would. No, because we've got Kostyuk's allowed.
She's the seventh seed.
Kostyuk's allowed as a dark horse.
Yeah, but Kostyuk's never been anywhere in a slam.
She won Madrid.
Yes, but she, in a slam, she's never done anything.
Svitolina's never been to a final of a slam.
She's been to semis.
Never been to a final.
No, but she's been much closer.
So the clear one is Casper Ruud is not allowed because he's been to the final here. Like that, you cannot be a dark horse if you've experienced walking out in
the
final.
Did we allow Tsitsipas in the end?
Well, I wouldn't have done, but you decided as he was 80
it's
in the world.
It's not my choice. I just said he's not playing very well.
No, he's not playing very well, but it's a place where he's happy memories and he's been to the final. So I strictly wouldn't have allowed it, but I felt the heat rising quite literally in this commentary box. So I did allow Tsitsipas.
I think the reason I didn't pick Svitolina is her draw. She has to play, well, potentially play Iga in the quarterfinals, which is tough. I know she beat her in Rome, but...
Well, you've got Iga winning the whole thing.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't go for it in the end. I think the section that's open, wide open is the Amanda Anisimova section because I'd be surprised if she even plays.
She's got a wrist injury.
That missed Rome.
I think she'll play.
I think if she's been practicing with a wrist strapping on, that's not a good sign.
I think she'll play.
So she plays and she loses early, and that section is going to be wide open.
I think on the subject of dark horses in the men's draw this year, you could argue that everybody's a dark horse aside from Sinner. He's that much of a prohibitive favourite.
I still wouldn't allow Djokovic as a dark horse.
Okay. No, I assume you wouldn't.
I would argue that Djokovic wouldn't allow Djokovic as a dark horse.
I don't think he'd like that too much.
I still think, well, have I allowed Medvedev in as a dark horse?
You have allowed him.
And there's no stewards' inquiry. But he is a Grand Slam champ, but his relationship with clay is so weird.
And that's why I think he qualifies as a dark horse.
Clay is for, what did he say clay was for? Dogs?
Probably.
Did you just make that up?
No!
I think you made that up.
Medvedev said something
I
like
want
clay
you to
is
find
for,
that.
For dogs.
Well, we know that Ruud said grass was for golf.
Yeah.
But clay is for dogs? What do dogs do on it?
Well, you don't want
I
to
mean,
know.
No, there's... You know, I was listening back to the final the three of us were on from last year, which was obviously sensational, and so much pigeon chat came up during that 5 hours.
It was a long match.
That's after you banned it as well, Gigi.
Yeah, I try and ban everything. So a name that's come up a few times as a dark horse is Rafa Hoddar. Yeah. What a lovely young man. And what I love about this lovely young man is it's just him and his dad, big Rafa, as in senior Rafa. You look in his box, maybe it will change here, but all throughout Madrid and Rome, it's just his dad in the box. Yes, there was David Ferrer in another area of Madrid as the Davis Cup captain kind of giving advice, but isn't that so refreshing? And especially in Madrid, he trained down the road, he grew up down the road, there's no Alcaraz, all the spotlights on him. Just his dad in the box.
Well, imagine if the other Rafa showed up to watch him too often. You know, the pressure that would be on his shoulders. He's been amazing. He really has come from nowhere. He's risen like 700 places in the last year, and before that from even more. But he's got a huge game. You know, he's got a big serve, absolutely melts every ground stroke he hits. In this heat, he's going to love it.
Yeah.
He's going to be totally at home at it. He's not shown any signs of being overawed anywhere he's been. Won Marrakesh, semis Barcelona, quarters Madrid and Rome, lost to good players. He's going to take some stopping. That's why I picked him as a dark horse.
And you were not alone.
No.
Just going back from horses to dogs again, I'm not sure when he said this, but, quote, Daniil Medvedev, "What can I do, man? This surface is awful. You like to be on dirt like a dog? I don't judge."
Oh, yeah. I mean, no judgment.
I think we might judge that. We're looking down at Sasha Zverev, who is due to play on Philippe Chatrier, but question marks. There's a lot of talk. Munich, he got to semi-finals. A lot of talk. He actually had to go and have injections in his back during Munich. And he said to me that he was dealing with a personal issue through Munich. And maybe that was to do with the back. He then pulled out of Hamburg because of the back. And there's been reports that in the build-up to Roland Garros, he's been wincing and grabbing it.
His back.
What are you talking about? Why are you laughing,
Stefan? Like I said, she's starting early.
Sunday morning.
No, but hang on. No, no. Can I, in my defence...
clip that, Stefan. Just no, that little bit.
Because in my defence, subject there was the back. I had said back about 8 times, so it was very obvious when I said he grabbed it.
I just can't believe we've descended this early.
He was talking about
his... It would have been fine.
What else was he going to grab?
No, well, don't ask that question. We would say that Zverev has been dealing with this, hasn't he, since sort of December last year. He said it's actually this back problem has been going on, and he keeps making these visits to this doctor in Germany who's an expert, and he feels a lot of confidence in what this doctor does, but it's not great. And in the context of talking about this overwhelming favourite in Sinner, Zverev is the second seed. And so when you look at him with a huge injury cloud over him, that again adds to the sense that this is Sinner's to win or lose.
Yeah, this would be his big chance really to get to another final if he was fully fit.
We've just had a message from Arvind, who's actually mentioned a player who I think we should discuss. Arvind says, nothing defines the true start of summer to me more than the first sounds of Radio Roland Garros. All my grading, he's a teacher, is done. My bags are almost packed to go on vacation, and I have no real commitments aside from consuming as much tennis as possible. Very excited to hear you for the next 2 weeks. I'm hoping the Baptiste Krejcikova match is an absolute banger. Mm. Barbora Krejcikova, of course, she's had all sorts of issues. She's a former champion.
She's not a dark horse. She's won it.
She can't be a dark horse? Even though she's sort of had...
She's won it.
Lots of
I've just remembered
problems.
Who I went for in my dark horse.
The Empress has spoken.
Okay, sorry.
On another check.
Let me put this out to the team. Do you think you could have a former champion here as a dark horse?
Well,
not in the last 10 years.
What about
years.
Stan?
There
what
you go.
What if you picked Stan Wawrinka?
Lady Eleanor has also spoken.
No, I think you're both wrong. I think, Stan Wawrinka is definitely a dark horse.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. I mean, but I would say it's that a very I think dark that fits horse. My...
That, does,
it's
that
an
does,
exceedingly dark horse.
No, but that
this
does
year.
That does fit.
Okay.
What, the 10 years?
Yeah.
It's 11, isn't it?
Does.
Yeah. Yes, therefore, but not within the last 10 years.
Because
I think that is...
That's
that
handy.
He absolutely qualifies as a dark horse.
Convenient.
My math is not good enough to have worked that out and to have anticipated that Marcus was going to say that.
Red Sox Devil's been back in touch. He's always very feisty. He says, what's the difference between Spurs and a wet paper bag? Not much, really. They're both next to useless. Is there a way to block people?
I would take out...
Can you not block our listeners when we are 25 minutes into our coverage?
Also, I think the words next and to are redundant in that sentence.
Yes, all right.
So, sorry.
Oh, dearie me. We are back.
It's been a long day.
That's wonderful news. Well, the special guest in our predictions is Courtney Nguyen.
Ah.
We were chatting last night and I said to Courtney, could you get involved? And I'd love to have you involved in our predictions game. And she did, although, firstly, she had Lerner Tien to win, and Jannik Sinner as her dark horse. And I said, can I swap them? And she said, no, I want them that way around. But in the end, we settled on her winners are Jannik Sinner and Iga Świątek. Dark horses, Daniil Medvedev and Jessica Pegula, who she then put, who, yes, is number 5, because she probably knows what I'm like with dark horses, but she absolutely sucks on clay, so she is spiritually number 17.
Spiritually a dark horse.
I like that. I also am very pleased that we have the same dark horse, because that makes me feel better about my choice.
You don't have Pegula.
Medvedev.
Who's your woman?
Jiang Qinwen is my dark horse.
Who won the Olympic gold? I mean, it was lucky letting you have
that.
Oh, come
on. She's unseeded.
And has been to a Grand Slam final.
Lucky letting you have that.
But not
here. How can she be a dark horse?
We only let you have it because it's not going to happen.
You don't get a choice.
That's what you think.
If you'd like to send us your picks, so we have the winners from the men's and women's and a dark horse on each, and what a dark horse, I really don't know, then at @radio_RG or French Open Radio FFT.fr. You can definitely find us on the app. And you should be able to find us on the website, but I'm not 100% sure, so I will look into that.
Tune in as well on the TuneIn app, I think.
Yep.
Are we on the TuneIn
app? Look at Stefan.
He thinks so. He thinks so. Yes?
But the app is probably the easiest. And also, it's a really good app. It's got lots of news stories, lots of interviews, lots of video content. Lots of colour, and definitely worth looking at.
You could say that it could make you very appy.
It would make you very appy.
Epi.
Oh,
Epi?
Gosh, when are you two together? I'm not sure. It's late.
One till three.
So, that is my job. But you'll be hearing from all members of the team today. Ellen has brought some snacks. Some very British snacks.
Well, I thought because Courtney Walsh is coming.
Whatever Courtney's
and
bringing.
He is going to bring some Australian snacks. I thought we'd bring some delicacies from the cultural hotspot and the culinary hotspot that is United Kingdom.
Custard creams by Sainsbury's. Oh, great.
Are Jaffa cakes even British?
Oh, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Jaffa cakes and,
well,
and custard creams.
It's not an interesting question, but we now need to know the answer to
you,
it.
You find out the answer. In terms of Sunday, 24th of May, it's a soft launch. The Sundays are a soft launch. It's not a full schedule. It's a smattering of matches. I mean, I say soft launch, we've got Novak Djokovic.
Yes,
playing
that's
in the night session.
Not a soft launch for Giovanni and Petri Pericard, who's playing him.
Yeah, coached by Greg Rosedsky, so we'll cover that for you. Court 13, as Mark has mentioned, Emma Raducanu, that's third match from 11 o'clock local time, so we are going to cover that when she pops up. I mean, we can basically follow... Did you find out the answer?
No.
No. We can follow every... We are going to start with Marta Kostyuk, because she's... Now Mark is having
she's
a look at the
Jaffa
cakes.
She's just going to eat one.
We actually, we don't do like a webcam. That would be awful in here,
yes,
wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, yeah. Especially in this